welcome everyone to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. Our show focuses on the workplace and the workforce trends shaping the workplace and the workforce today, and we're happy to have you along for the ride. The trends continue to change as I talk to my clients and to my colleagues around town to see what things are shaping their own workforce. There's always something new, and never before has it been so much change, and goodness knows we've heard so much of this stuff before. But we continue to focus on this thing, trying to bring you information to make you a little bit better. All I want you to be is a little bit better at what it is that what you do. We study these trends both in the times of COVID and outside the times of COVID. And speaking of trends, and this is a plug for tomorrow night's What's Working show, begins at 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings, is this trend in the the building world called a barndominium. I met a guy on the phone who does barndominiums. He builds barndominiums, and I had never heard of it. I started asking my friends, have you ever heard of this thing called a barndominium? Apparently, I'm the last one on the block that's heard about these things. They're fairly popular. But they're kind of a residential-style home that you use to build a lot of space where you can keep your RV and your boats and things like that. And on the What's Working show tomorrow night at 6 p.m., we talk about barndominiums. They're steel structures homeowners buy, put their toys in them. They grow, or they live in them. They're growing in popularity, hugely customizable. You can actually hear that show now if you're interested right now. Well, let's say after this show, at whatsworkingcam.com. That's the website. Go to whatsworkingcam.com, where you'll find all the podcasts, all the shows we've ever done, and that barndominium episode is featured at the top. One of the things you'll learn, or that I learned about barndominiums, no termites in a barndominium, and that's worthy. That's something important. In April of this past April, late April, after we began these Tuesday, Thursday shows, I had Patty Vanderpool on the line. She was introduced to me. She told me a little bit about the challenges that were being faced in her clients' workplaces. Patty is back with us today. She is tracking the trends shaping so many different workplaces due to her role as the owner of EAP Lifestyle Management, as Employee Assistant Program. They do a lot of, let's say, consulting, HR consulting, policy consulting for different workplaces across the region. Patty, thank you very much for coming back. Welcome back to What's Working.
Thank you, Cam. And I want to learn about barndominiums too, so I'll have to catch that.
It's amazing. I'm glad that there's somebody else out there that has never heard of a barndominium. It was a new term for me. In fact, I laughed when I heard it. Then I realized that this was a significant thing, and they're the real deal. Patty, we're going to go to break here shortly, so we don't want to get into too much content yet, but let's begin by having you introduce what it is that your company does and why I've called you back, because you're such a great resource of content right now.
We contract with employers of all sizes, including small businesses, to provide behavioral health services and consultation and crisis response. So we've been plenty busy, but also like after a hurricane or something like that, workplace training and, yes, policy consulting and assisting with development. The big boys don't need my help with that, but small businesses often do. So.
And give me a profile of your client, if you would. I know they range. I know they're both local as well as international, but give me a profile of who utilizes you. I want to get my listeners an image in their head of the value that you offer, the type of client.
Oh, boy. Across sectors, Cam. It might be a medical facility, the federal government, manufacturing facilities, Porch Creek Indian Reservation, and they're, you know, a great steward of the community. So really just a very wide, pretty strong in the manufacturing sector.
Yeah.
And again, businesses of all different sizes, banking, associations, daycare providers. That's actually a new account we got. I have to do a plug for them, Cam, because it's a nonprofit, Gulf Regional Early Childhood Services. They contracted with me to provide help with them setting up. But what a challenge they have, early child care providers.
Yeah.
What a challenge.
No kidding. Frontline heroes. That's a lot of signs out celebrating those folks right now. So Patty, folks, understand this. She has her hands in a lot of pots. She's getting a lot of requests for help from many different angles. And she has put together a very comprehensive list of content that I'm going to tell you about momentarily and tell you how to get it. Heck, I'll tell you right now. Text What's Working to 44222. And you're going to see an extraordinarily comprehensive list of policy ideas for your workplace. We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Region. We'll be right back with Patty Vanderpool. Vanderpool on the line. She's the owner of EAP Lifestyle Management, an employee assistance program. She's been very helpful to her clients. I know she's been very busy. She's put together one of the most comprehensive resources of content in these COVID times that I've seen recently. And if you want to get a copy of what she's put together for this show, text What's Working, that word, no apostrophes, all one word, to 44222 and follow the prompts. You'll get this thing. It's full of links and information. Patty, prior to the break, I was talking to you a little bit about what you're doing and what's going on out there. My sense, and I don't have any numerical number, I don't have anything numerical to put onto this, is that people right now are out of their mind busy, but I'm not sure what they're doing. You have a lot of hands and a lot of pots. What is your sense of what's going on out there? I just get the feeling of frenzy and panic and busyness out there. What's going on?
Well, busyness, I think. Well, you know, Cam, one thing that happened, I think any business owner has probably done exactly what I did. You take advantage of the time everything was shut down to look at what we have to do when everything gets back open, or can we open sooner? And that involves what you wanted to talk about, developing policies. You have to put a little thought into it.
Yeah, and I think policies are one of the first reasons I thought of you was the development of policy right now. Every store that I walk into has a sign that reads, our policy is, usually relating to masks and social distancing. But policies don't appear out of the ether. There are people listening right now that are responsible for either creating policy or enforcing policy. Take us through the process of creating and enforcing policy for a workplace or for a retail location.
Okay, well, for any business, retail or not, I'm not proclaiming I'm an expert on retail operations, and thanks to all them too. I mean, everybody really who has to go to work, and I greatly appreciate that. You have to figure out, you have to get some focus first, Cam, I think. And one of the most important things we should keep in mind is if, let's say, I always imagine the government, and this is because I'm a federal contractor, but it applies to all my private clients too. What is the federal government saying? And they are driving a lot of our policies right now. What do they say about some of these changes we need to implement in the workplace? Taking temperatures, for example, Cam. A lot of people jumped right in to just taking temperatures with no policy. Well, something that honestly I didn't consider until I delved into the research a little bit is you can't just take a temperature. You have to have some protective gear, too, as the temperature taker, whoever is designated to do that. So, you know, it'd be a good idea to let's look at policies for that. And they're available. They're there. They're already done. It's just a matter of knowing where to look. So many businesses, including us, have switched to virtual services for a time where you're completely virtual. Well, you can't just jump on Zoom. That's a big mistake I've seen too, Cam. Zoom has been great, but if you're a business owner, you need to be on Zoom Business, so not the free version, basically. Go ahead and use it. And then what are your policies for using that amongst not only your employees who will be back to the office, but everybody's working at home now? And that's another, the very first policy I developed was telecommunicating. Okay, so everybody's going to be working from home. What are the policies? Like equipment, like internet use, like what device are they going to use, their own or company issued? So it gets pretty complicated, but again, it sounds daunting. And I really hope this list of resources helps people not have to. You'll have to do less research than I had to do.
Well, the resource list you've put together, I've said it twice before, and I'll probably say it at least twice before in the remainder of the show, is really very comprehensive, and there are resources out there that the federal government, different agencies have created to help people implement policy to the point of, and using some of the links that you sent me, essentially copy and paste this and add your own company name to it, and this becomes the policy, and it's somewhat defendable. Is that about right?
That's exactly right. It's absolutely defendable. In fact, I would encourage stick to their wording.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no need to reinvent the wheel. Because if liability is an issue down the road, Cam, they're going to go by, you know, best practices and what does the federal law say? Of course, it's, you know, there's the state thing, too. And I included those resources, too. And that's another caution. Pay attention to state and federal guidelines. But again, there's policies already there, ready to go.
Yeah, it's one of these features, I guess, of our government that often I don't recognize, gets lost. I don't see the value of it. I don't notice it, et cetera, but it's out there to be utilized, and it's well worth people taking exploration into them. I want to talk to you, Patty, about citing policy, because there's a part of me, let's say I go into a store outside the COVID times, I go into a store and they say, we can't do that because it's policy. And I want to say, man, you're just making that up. You just don't want to do it. That's the cynic in me. You just don't want to do it. You're just citing policy so you don't have to do it. This is not those times. This is different, correct?
I kind of think there probably was a policy before too, Cam.
Yeah, you're
I think sometimes that can be an easy excuse. But also, you know, actually, I recommend if I'm training a workplace, for example, one of the ways to deal with an irate customer, and you would not be irate, but certainly one way to deal with that is just to say, it's policy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's policy. You know, I enforce the policy, but I didn't write it.
Yes. And I think there's two things to unfold in that thing is enforcing the policy. You mentioned the customer. But you've also now got these policies that need to be enforced internally with peers and colleagues. Can you discuss that for a moment?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the primary ones, wear masks, social distancing. We screen, and there are some, in fact, Cam, I didn't send this to you, but I'll be happy to send it to you. There's two really, really good checklists for employees to complete on a daily basis. So a manager or any leadership team really doesn't have to be there. But if they're coming in the office, they complete this, like, four questions. Okay. So, you know, we want to make sure our employees are coming in healthy, too. So you have to really jump into that kind of policy. You do have to move a little bit. Do what you've got to do to keep everybody safe and healthy. But then by day three, you better be looking at how you're going to write a policy for that. Otherwise, it's going to be different things for different people, and you don't want to do that. It's not effective.
No, it's not effective. It creates barriers and walls and things of that nature. But imagine that I'm rolling out a policy. Let's say I'm a small organization, and it's been a collegial environment, and now I realize, hey, we've got to put some structure on this thing. We've got to add some real policies here that will protect me as the business owner, that will protect my employees in their health to make sure they follow these rules. But we have not been a policy-driven organization. So this is going to be new for this workplace. Take me through what this business leader needs to think and do in order to roll out an effective policy for the first time in a workplace that hasn't been used to them.
Just to roll it out, I would say, and pre-rollout, I would suggest getting input. Let me tell you something, Cam, that I learned from General Stanley McChrystal. What an honor to have him train me. And he's just incredible. And he says he doesn't make a team decision, his team, all the troops in Afghanistan, until he consults with them. He says, now I'm going to turn around and do what I want to do, but I listen to what they have to say. And I think there's value in that, too. So you really need have everybody read the policy. Very basic. Have a signature page. Make sure it's signed. Make sure it's returned to the lead person. That is I've seen that as a big problem. Now you have a policy, but nobody signed it. Oops. Oops. And it becomes not enforceable, right?
So the process of rolling it out gets everybody to identify it, to sign it, to agree to the fact that they've seen it. It doesn't mean they have to agree to it, but they've seen it. And at that point, essentially, if I understand you correctly, Patty, what you're saying is then you as the workplace leader can choose the policy that you want, but you need to let everybody know, let me say that correctly, people may not like the policy, but
right.
You can roll it out at that point because everybody has signed that they're a part of it.
Well, that's right. But all right, I don't think I presented that quick. Once it's, I recommend getting feedback up to the policy development point, if you can. And that sometimes, Sam, we have to hurry up. We don't have time to have, you know, a meeting with 200 people. My organization is smaller than that, so it's not a problem for me. But then once they get the policy, that's the first step. Distribute the policy, have them sign it.
Yeah.
And then talk about it. That's a lot of, you know, Cam, I'm always surprised to get outside the COVID environment. When I provide alcohol or substance abuse, use and abuse workplace training, it still, after 30 years, amazes me that people have no clue what their policy says. But they signed it. So if I go in and train to it, and for some, you know, I know workplaces are busy and they don't all have time to do training, and of course all our training is virtual now. But if I train to it, the first thing I do is go over the policy. Just go over the policy.
And that's step one. Let's make sure everybody's clear on what we got right now is step one. Let's all agree to that we understand the policy. Doesn't mean we like it, but we all agree that we understand it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So a lot of this, Patty, is, and I don't mean this in a detrimental way, but playing defense. We got to play defense in case the lawsuits come. Are you aware of any sort of, you're paying much more close attention to this than I am. Are you aware of any sort of preventative measures in Congress that would keep these workplaces harmless from any sort of COVID spread that could be attributed to them?
Right. No, Cam, I just heard, and the talk from D.C., has been that in just very vague terms, and I'll say now what I've said. If any of our team is listening, they know that I say this. If it's not written, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Washington says collectively, we'll be okay. Who said that? And where is it in writing? So that there's part of the new stimulus act, and I actually didn't hear our president's briefing because I was working. I think he had a briefing at noon today. Part of his stimulus package, my understanding is he wants that to include, and I don't know if it'll fly or not, he wants that to include some liability protection for businesses trying to implement these COVID-related safeguards.
Yeah.
But again, Cam, if you follow ADA, you're going to be fine anyway.
Yeah.
Follow ADA whether you have to or not. And one of the links has free resources, free guidance, you know, and there's your policy.
So, Patty, I know you're getting questions about policy. It's one of the things you and I discussed prior to getting on the air and discussing the topic of the show. I'm curious what else is weighing on your clients. Again, you have so many fingers in so many different pots. What is weighing on their minds right now? What are they seeking your advice on that's unique to our time?
Number one, we've actually seen an uptick, Cam, and I'm not surprising as people return to the workplace. Okay, their fear. And also a little bit of a tricky area. You know, people, it's a little complicated, but people who may have a medical disability, like folks that you hear are in the high-risk category, right? How do we protect them? They're not comfortable coming to work. Honestly, Cam, every business owner or who listens to this is going to be able to relate to it. The kind of the thermometer for when an employee should return to work is, do you feel okay about coming to work? But the government does have some protection for that. If I can say a word about the PPP, do you mind if I say a word about the...
We got 30 seconds.
Okay, well, just be careful. You don't have to keep somebody if you're terminating them for performance reasons. Okay, so that's just read what you signed. So there still is some protection, but proceed with caution. So let's see what Congress says after this new stimulus package.
I'm absent this conversation on the new stimulus package. Is there anything unique in it that we all need to know about?
Payroll tax cut.
Ah, yes, that was discussed the first time around, and it sounds like it's now on the table again, huh?
I'm pretty sure that's going to fly. That's my gut now. I used to work a lot in Washington, but I'm not up on the Hill anymore. They still send me email, though.
They still keeping you posted on what's going on there. So if somebody doesn't feel comfortable, and that can be defined nearly any way, they can call in and say, I'm not comfortable, I'm not coming back to work. Is that correct?
Yeah. But they're tightening up on that a little bit, Cam.
Yeah.
Again, that's where you go to DOL, Department of Labor. Get the most recent guidance. I would also encourage everybody to sign up for the free newsletters on all these links. They're quick. They're easy. You don't want to read them. Don't read them, but at least you have.
There are so many of them. And you can get her list, Patty's list, at text What's Working to 44222. Again, what's working to 44222, you'll find a way to sign up or enter your email. And once you enter that email, her list will come to you. We'll be right back with Patty Vanderpool. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Welcome back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. On the line with me, Patty Vanderpool. She's the owner of EAP Lifestyle Management, LLC. They are an employee assistance program group. They work with employers all over. And the value that she brings to us today is, first, an extraordinary resource of information on how to deal with our current crazy times, as well as, her, as I've said a number of times, she's got a finger in a lot of pots of a lot of different businesses and is not only telling about the challenges of her own business, but as well as the many that she consults with. So, Patty, we're grateful to have you back here. Prior to us getting on the air, when you and I were kind of overlooking some of the topics that I felt and you felt would be of interest to the listeners out there today, we came up with these three. In fact, you gave me these three. There are three top stressors in any workplace: uncertainty, violence, and finances. And all of a sudden, these have coalesced on our day and on our time at the same time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, and of course, health, too. And let me do a little aside, Cam. Anybody who has a health plan for their employers needs to check and make sure the health plan is up to snuff, taking into account, you know, the current health situation. So that said, I think I shared with you that we had what I call an all-hands meeting because I served the military, too. All our team got together virtually, and my prediction at the end of March was people are going to start getting angry, and we are going to see some expressions of violence. Well, my prediction, for some reason, I said 2 weeks, so I can tell you why, because based on past experience, although it's not been COVID, there have been other national, like 9/11, for example. So there's kind of a typical pattern. And 2 weeks came and went, no uptick in violence, and I said, wow, I was wrong. Great. Well, then we all see what's happening now, right? So that's a concern. So are politics in the work. Politics, I'm talking as it relates to leading to possible acts of violence. I know you've heard about it in the news. And it is, in fact, happening. Well, if it happens anywhere else, it's going to be happening at the workplace, too. I look at the workplaces it's destroying. So I think everybody heard about Portland, right? That's not just Black Lives Matter, which I do believe is a great, legitimate organization. It's other stuff going on, too. There's politics. We got some angry people. And I think, as I said to you, this has always been the case, Cam. Research bears this out. If you mess with people's money, here's the real fancy way to say it, they get mad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very easy for us to say, calm to even a clinician, all right, let me give you stress management techniques. Well, if you don't know how you're going to buy food for the family or pay your bills, it's pretty hard to use your brain, right, use all these techniques, because it's very worrisome. So we can't poo-poo money completely. In fact, the research camp says, you know, a lot of people will quote research, and happiness is definitely not about money, but if you look at all the research, there's not too much happiness when you get to a point where you cannot meet your financial obligations,
right,
whatever they may be.
And people are fast coming to those. Isn't, and again, this is something I should know, shame on me for not knowing, but aren't the $600 a week benefits coming to a close here soon?
The rationale I heard for the payroll tax decrease was so that we can encourage people to come back to work, not paying them to stay home.
Yeah.
They have to come to work to recognize that. So, yeah, it's my understanding that's done.
Yeah. So, but when those benefits run out, there's all of a sudden someone else messing with the money. I guess the point I'm trying to drive at here is there are workplace, you know, there are people out there listening saying, gosh, this is coming to an end. And there are colleagues of mine that perhaps will be coming back to work, or there are colleagues of mine that could be losing this benefit here soon. What do I need to look out for? So, again, we're on kind of another defensive plane. The first defensive plane is, how do I keep from getting sick? the second defensive plane maybe? How do I prevent myself from any anger outburst that could be coming from my colleagues due to this these benefits coming to an end? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's that would almost be a whole nother show, Cam. But yeah, there are red flags that I look for when somebody is referred to. That is one benefit we provide employers. This happens unfortunately regularly. You have an employee who is angry and they're showing signs of violence. Pretty clear cut. You and I, everybody would agree, it's a sign of potential violence. Well, Patty, we're not sure if it really are violent. You assess them and tell us. And then at that point, we take it from there. It's easier for me to work with an employee, sometimes with or without the employer. I can't break confidential information, than it is for the employer to. So we really, our tagline is our job is to make theirs easier. So that's what we aim to do. I do provide training too, though, and here's what you look for. And let me say a word about that. Everybody take threats of violence seriously. Please, 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 please take it seriously. What do? Call me. I won't charge you. I'll talk you through it. It's hard to give you quick answer, but do take it seriously.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And, you know, Patty, I can't help but listen to myself here and talk about all these issues and this thing, and it's just a continuous stream of, of angst and of anxiety and stuff like that. People are tired of hearing about it. However, it is an omnipresent part of so many people's days. It's this black cloud that we can't help but ignore but are tired of talking about. I'm wondering if you have any insight from me, just me, Cam Marston, your buddy, on deal with this on a daily basis, Patty. How to how to wake up and realize that this thing that I had no cause in, no hand in creating, has impacted me in ways that I could never have anticipated, and all the ways that we've discussed thus far on the show.
Okay. First of all, not that you would do this, but this is for your, I know you said for you, but for your general, do not get drunk. Don't deal with it that way, because alcohol is a depressant.
Oh, Patty, that's not the way I wanted you to come out of the gate on this thing.
Sorry. That's got to be the first one. Really, Sam, it's as simple as smile, whether you feel like it or not, and I know that I could give you a whole argument on why that helps. It actually causes physiological changes. Work on positivity. You know, I can't be just, don't worry. That's not going to work for anybody. It doesn't work for me. So we have to put our mind somewhere else, which means, and this is difficult in your profession and mine, but I in fact do this, take a news break. Take a news break. That needs to happen too. Now, I know that's hard for you, especially for you. Think positive thoughts, the basic stuff. Now, how do you do that? The very first order of business is take care of your physical health. Make sure you eat and sleep right. Because if you don't, think of a day when you haven't slept, right? It's not a good day the next day. So just the very basics. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And drink a lot of water. That's a mitigator of stress. Drink a lot of water.
Oh, really?
Explain why. Yeah. I was doing training to a bunch of chemical engineers, and I made that comment. Now, I teach psychology too, Cam. We don't teach much about that, talk much about that. But sometimes I put on my teacher cap, and if I present research, it means that I really researched it. Doesn't mean I can always explain it to you. So I said in my presentation on stress management, increase your water intake. It's good for you. Well, here's a bunch of chemists. I should have known better than to say that. And they said, what's in water that helps with stress? H2O? How does that work? And I said, you know, that's a good question. During a break, they looked it up and told me, and I forgot it again. But anyway, increase your water intake.
The water intake is a stress reducer. I love it. Common and readily available is such a powerful stress reducer out there. That's pretty interesting. I never knew that.
And focus on the good stuff. We all have it somewhere, Cam. Somewhere. It's somewhere.
Yeah, right? I think you and I were talking the other day, Patty, about the difference between relief and a remedy. And we are searching for relief, so many of us are, but that remedy, which is the long-term fix, is proving to be so hard to find for so many people. Let me ask you this. This is, again, kind of personal. A lot of the colleagues that I hang out with have not been impacted by the coronavirus. Their business is zooming. They haven't missed a beat. In fact, they're busier than ever. And my thought was, I need to hang out with a different crowd. I need to find people that are more, that are licking their wounds more, like
no,
me.
No, excuse me for interrupting. That's a resounding no.
Ah, Patty. I'm 0-2 on my ideas.
You know, Cam, I if you're, and I also speak about this in training. All right, I'm going to give you a not a pleasant example first. If you're in a funeral, you're probably not laughing, right? If you went in feeling good, you're probably not going to feel real happy when you get out. And the same goes for laughter on the other side. If you're around positivity, it's going to help you be positive. And that should be a message for all of us, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, keep at it. Plus, you want to hear the hints, right? So would I.
Yeah, well, it's something that I've considered, and I've heard other people considering as well, as both me and other people, as we kind of roll around in our gloom. Listen, I printed something out based on the material that you sent me here, and I want to focus on this real quick because I thought it made a lot of sense. Let's see, it reads this: leaders do well to focus people away from powerlessness towards what they do have control over. Healthy, life-giving control mitigates anxiety and allows natural resilience to occur. Inertia shifts into momentum. This is from, it's called Pine Rest Christian Mental Health Services. It was part of one of the links that you sent out in this wonderful list that I've mentioned and will mention again. And it goes through the fight, flight, and freeze responses of people in times of high-stress environments. Can you touch on those? We hadn't really talked about it, but I'm sure it's something you're versed in.
That is my friend Bob Vanderpoel, who trained me in crisis response many, many years ago. He's up in Michigan. All right, repeat the question again. I got the background, but what's the question?
Fight, flight, and freeze mentalities in times of stress, and what we as leaders need to know about this.
Yeah, that's right, to get unstuck. That's your standard fight or flight syndrome, right? Come out. It depends on your personality, too. So are you going to run? And, you know, speaking to your comment, Cam, you know, being around other people who are not real cheery or have had a rough time, misery loves company, but that's going to keep you in misery, too. It won't help you feel better. And, yes, control. You mentioned control, I think. If you think about it, if you stop and think about it, that is the primary issue with stress. It's that you feel like you don't have control. Anybody who feels a loss of control is going to experience stress.
Yeah.
Now, what you do with that stress, that's the fight, flight, you know. I can't put it any better than Bob Vanderpoel. But the control is very important. And some people will say, well, I'm not a control freak. That's not what it's about. Think about COVID, Cam. Why is everybody so stressed? It's very uncertain. We have no control. We have no control.
Well, thank you guys for sticking around. That was an unexpected interruption. It's the first time I've had something like that happen. I still got Patty Vanderpoel on the line with me. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. And consistent with the show, we've got our 1:52 p.m. notes summary wrap-up thing, and I've got my alpha note-taking favorite oldest daughter in the studio with me today. Her English or her AP courses in high school have taught her to create some great notes, and here we go. Everybody's busy, everybody's frantic because they're trying to take advantage of the time and change the policy, making policy, creating, implementing policy. They're getting more difficult. But the government is sending out, our federal and state and local government, mostly federal and state, is sending out policy that is designed for us to copy and paste and utilize at our own workplace. And you will find those policies at Patty's document, and I'll tell you how to get that. We've had a great number of people download that already. I'll tell you how to get that again in a moment. Second, policies for the first time in business that don't have it. It's time for businesses who don't have policies to begin to implement those things due to the multiple dangers and hazards of the workplace today. Not only illnesses, but legal dangers. They need to see the policy, make them sign it to acknowledge that they've seen it, ask for their feedback before it's implemented. Ultimately, though, it's your decision on how and when and to what degree to implement it. We're talking about payroll tax cuts that are designed to hopefully get people to come back into work. The only way they can get paid is to show up to be there. What's weighing on clients right now, I ask Patty? Fear. How to protect people in high-risk category. How do we define those high-risk categories? How do those people that fit into those high-risk categories deal with the fear, acknowledge their fear, come into work? There's fear continues to be the central theme on so many people. The top stresses in the workplace, any workplace, uncertainty, violence, finances, and health. And all of those have come into play perhaps for the first time in my lifetime at the same time. Even a hurricane looks pretty routine compared to the kind of stuff, the multiple things we got going on right now. And people going to get violent. You'll find no happiness when you can't meet financial needs. Money does not equal happiness. But not being able to meet your finances creates an extraordinary amount of stress. And one of the outcomes of that stress leads to violence. And who knows what that Amber Alert was for, but it might have been more poetic than we had thought, considering that conversation. Finally, Patty says no alcohol, work on positivity, take a news break, turn the news off. I try to do that on a regular basis. Increase your water intake and fight, flight, and freeze. There are typical reactions to stress. Be aware of those different reactions. So let me give you, once again, tips on how to get this remarkable list that Patty has prepared for the show today. Text what's working, one word, no apostrophes, what's working, to 44222. You will then get a reply to that text that says enter your email. Enter that email. You will then get a link to these policies as well as a few other things. We do not abuse your email address. If you choose to send us that email address, I can promise you we treat it very respectfully, and you'll get this information from Patty. Patty, you still there?
I am still here. And, you know, I have to say, Cam, I'm talking on 106.5 and saying take a news break. Even Sean needs to take a news break. We all do. Anyways.
You know, I was talking to a guy, I was just telling Dalton during the break, I was talking to a guy today, and there are four stories that have dominated the news cycle forever. And it's the weather. Weather always dominates the news cycle. Whether it's good or bad, we're going to talk about the weather. So it's weather, it's election, it's COVID, and it's racial injustice. And those things have gone on. Those have been the only four news cycles that seemingly have been in place forever. And I was joking with Dalton, boy, I wish we were talking about the bridge toll again. Wouldn't that be a relief? Wouldn't that be fun? Would I rather pay $5 or 50 cents to get over the bridge? That would be a relief of a conversation right now, wouldn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, Patty, in these times of stress, tell me about the leaders that you see that are really distinguishing themselves, that are standing out, and what are their common characteristics? Let's finish up with that idea.
Resilient. Calm, consistent, firm, knowledgeable, respectful. That's it. I'm thinking of an HR manager I work with. Those are all her traits.
Yeah. I hear the word compassion used a lot today. Can you add that one to the list?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So you deal a lot with employees, internal things, et cetera. What about those that, do you have opinions on the workplaces that are doing well with their customers right now?
I think the casinos are doing great, to tell you the truth. That's one of the shining examples I see, Cam. I have been in a few workplaces. Most of the time I'm not visiting. No, people don't want outside folks in. I mean, I've seen good things in every work. I just haven't been to many lately.
Yeah. And your team is working remotely right now primarily, is what you told me, correct?
Yeah, we have two or three in one of our offices. Everybody else has worked, pretty much everybody else is working from home, yes. Aruba and Curaçao opened back up, so they're back at work.
Oh, in Curaçao, I'm supposed to go there in November, assuming everything gets back to normal.
We'll talk about that. I got to give you some names. You'll love it.
I'd love it. I can't wait. I won it in an auction for an incredibly cheap price, but now I got to figure out how to get there is the thing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not easy to get to, but I'm looking forward to it. It's a big thing on the calendar there. So your people working remotely, Patty, do you think you're an insider? Do you think they'll ever want to come back to work? I mean, they're going to want to work, but are they going to want to come back to work?
I think some do, some don't.
Yeah.
And really, that's worked out fine. It has not been a problem.
Yeah.
So far it's worked great. We need some administrative staff in the office, but not a full staff. Actually, Cam, all right, I'm going to tell you this. I have a 93-year-old employee. I made her stay home for a while because we were only having two or three people in the office at a time, and she couldn't wait to get back.
Love it.
I hope she's listening. Yeah.
Patty Vanderpool, EAPLifestyle.com. Get the list she's created. Text What's Working to 44222. It's a treasure, folks. It's a resource. She's done a lot of work to prepare for it. Listen to Barn Dominiums tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on this station. We'll have another show on Thursday. Have a good day, everybody.